to start reading at verse 26. If you'll stand in honor to God's word, we're going to start in that place. I'd like to talk to you about God's grace, Mary's faith, and promises. Those are three things that we need to keep in our mind, on our heart, and trust the Lord to do what He said that He would do, because He'll always do it. And I praise the Lord for it. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now, verses 26 through 55 speak of what we're going to talk about tonight. You can read that at home. I'll just read just a few verses down through there. But the story of Christmas, and we want to talk about that. But say God's grace. Say that with me. God's grace, Mary's faith, and promises. The Bible said in verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Father, we pray that you'd have your way in our hearts tonight, that you would touch everyone. We have so many that are sick, Father, not able to get out. May God, you bless them. Father, we have many that could be here and are not. May you bless them. You know what they need, dear Father, and what we need. We pray, Father, that you'd touch every person that is here today. Dear Father, that you'd be in the service, you'd be in our hearts. And God, help us to understand what Mary went through as we place ourselves in her mind, her heart, her life. And we'll give you praise and give you honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Now, there's jokes about St. Peter standing at the gate. They're not theologically correct, but they have a meaning. And I want to tell you about one that I read the other day. It is one man appeared at the pearly gates, and of course he met St. Peter there. And St. Peter looks at him and asks, you know, why would I let you in? Have you done anything of particular merit? Anything that stands out? The man thought a minute and he said, well, I can think of one thing, he said. One thing. He said, once I came upon a gang of bikers. He said they were all excited and they were bothering this woman and taking advantage of her. And he said one would say stuff and others would say stuff and they were threatening her. And I directed them to leave. But they wouldn't listen to me. So I approached the largest and the most muscled biker that was there. And I looked him in the eye. And I said, if you don't leave her alone, he says, I'm going to do something. Well, he looked at him and pushed him. And he said, I pulled his nose ring out of his nose. He said, I pushed him down. I went over and kicked his bike over. St. Peter stood back and he was impressed. He said, well, I'm impressed with that. When did this happen? He said, about 2 minutes ago. You'll get that in a moment. My wife got it. She understands my humor. We need to understand about faith. Faith is not reckless. Faith doesn't say, God, you're with me and I can do anything and just step out and do what is on your heart. Faith understands grace. And it works where grace comes out. It works in the strength of grace. Knowing what God said. Knowing what God did. And that brings in the promises of God. Now there's not a lot of theological stuff in what I just said about the joke. But you and I sometimes we have a reckless faith. We have a faith that is not bound upon the word of God. The promises of God. It's not bound in the grace of God. It's simply something that we think we need. It might be a healing. It might be a touch. It might be a prayer answer for somebody else. But a lot of times we ask amiss, the Bible says, not knowing what we need. And that's why the Bible said in another place, he said to trust God. And he said to count it joy when you fall into divers troubles, temptations. Because you don't know what God's trying to do out of it. But you can understand his grace, can't we? We can understand having faith in God and the promises of God. And that's what I want to talk to us about tonight. The Bible said in verse 26 that the angel Gabriel, now a lot of times we say of Gabriel that he was an archangel. The Bible never says he was. The Bible only says there was one archangel, which would be the chief angel, which would be Michael. But he was a powerful angel. He was used of God. And the Bible said that God sent him to the city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, that's amazing to me. And you know, when you read that, the Jewish reader would look up amazed when they would read that because there's nothing in Nazareth. My goodness, if you'll remember, we had a preacher here that came to be with us, and he was a wonderful man, a wonderful preacher of the gospel that lives in Nazareth, that we went to his church there, and we understood and talked to his people and had a great time. And Lord, he's Arabic. He's not Jewish, but he's Arabic. And he preached here for us. And he would tell you that there's nothing fancy about, even today, about Nazareth. So on the southern slopes of away from Galilee, 70 miles from Jerusalem, and it was a city that you didn't talk about, a little town of 400, very conservative people that held to the Jewish belief. They didn't partake of the Greek and all of the stuff going around in that day, in Christ's day. It's just a small city. Everybody knew everybody else. 400 people in this village, one synagogue. And you knew all the stuff about the people around you. Yet it was a very conservative city, a city that built on family. And this is where Jesus was raised. It was a place where he was raised up and became a man. And it taught him some values. It allowed the Word of God and the things of God to come out in his life. And he grew up into this. But now, Nazareth was a city of half-breeds. We'd call them rednecks. We know what rednecks are. And we'd call them that. And that's what Nazareth was. Nothing good comes out of Nazareth, they would say. But Jesus did. See, we wouldn't have done what Jesus did. And God sent the angel, and the angel announced that the promise that God was sending is going to be kept, and God kept it. The Messiah was born, Jesus was born, and he was raised up, and this little town was part of his home. But he used Mary, a little peasant girl, a little illiterate, a little girl that knew nothing. So most believe if she was 14 years old to 16 years old, very young in that time, and God chose her out of all the billions of women that have been born. He chose Mary. And I think by understanding Mary tonight, we can understand what God is saying. That God is sending the Son of God, His Son, and this one girl was chosen to be the one that God was present. Now, Mary was the only person present at the birth of Christ and at the death of Christ. She was the one that stayed with Him, the one that helped guide Him and my goodness, can you imagine the Son of God being raised, being a baby, maybe grunting like our little boy does, or getting into things like our girls do, you know, and all that. And as Jesus grew up, how that he was blessed and how that Mary was blessed in the things that she was doing. And there's a lot of misconceptions about Mary. People say, well, Mary was the Immaculate Conception. Well, no, Jesus was. Mary had sin, just like every other person that is born had sin. People say, well, you are to pray to Mary. You are to worship Mary. She's God, isn't she, or the same as God? No, she's not. Not at all. She used to be blessed, but she was a small girl that had nothing special about herself. The only special thing about Mary was that she was not special. There was nothing that sticks out to her, to you, when you read about her. She's mentioned more than any woman in the New Testament, I should say. She's used of God, yes. But she had nothing going for her that we would look at and say, well, that's why God chose her, just a run-of-the-mill teenage girl. But that speaks to you and I. The Bible says not few, mighty are called. He tells you and I that as children of God, we can be used of God. We don't have to be mighty. We don't have to be a man or a woman of intellect. We don't have to have nothing going for ourselves and be filled with talent. God uses the little things, the small things, and he used Mary. There's three things here in these words that I want us to remember, and I want you to get in your heart and your mind tonight. Because here we see grace, the grace of God. We see the faith of Mary, and we see the promises of God. And if you want to be able to partake of the promises of God, you need to allow God to use you and God to be part of your life. Number one, you need to decide to believe in God's Word. Decide to believe God's Word. See, that is what Mary did. Mary chose to do that. Chose to do that. Notice what she said in verse 31. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, the angel said, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Now, Mary was a virgin. She had never had relations with a man. She may have been taught it, no doubt was taught it from the words that we use, what was going on and what would happen. She'd been raised well by her mother.
But my goodness,
she was a virgin. She had never had relations there. And Mary, I believe, responded just like any other good conservative girl would respond in that day and in this day. Look at verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the High shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Look at verse 37. Say that with me. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Say it with me out loud. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Listen, the angel speaking for God told Mary the word of God and the will of God in her life. And Mary, she believed it, even though she was a virgin. She trusted what God said. She trusted the promise of God. Now, it's going to be a virgin conception. And it's going to be a virgin birth. Why? Because God's word said so. God's word said so. The Bible tells us that. But I notice verse 34 again. How can this be since I know not a man? Well, that's a good question. But then again, let's answer it with verse 37. Say it out loud with me. For with God, nothing should be impossible. Nothing should be impossible. Mary here is not left to wonder. She repeats this answer to him. Verse 35. The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Listen, a virgin birth, a virgin conception. There had to be a virgin birth. There could not be. For Jesus Christ to be Savior of the world and to die and to be raised again, he had to be sinless. He had to be sinless. See, we need to understand what God is doing here. Had he been born of an earthly father and an earthly mother, he would have been born in sin, just like you and I are. Born of Adam, just like you and I are. But Jesus was not. He was sinless, the sinless Son of God. We talked about that this morning. He was virgin born. God replaced the human father and became the Father himself. That's awesome, isn't it? That's wonderful. That is what God did. He touched the womb with supernatural power and the supernatural birth came forth. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. We don't celebrate Christmas because of toys and presents and this time of year, maybe snow, if we ever get snow. We don't celebrate it because of that. We celebrate it because of the Son called Jesus. That's why we celebrate it. And a Mary that was willing to give herself to it. Now, there's another reason, not just the virgin birth, but there's another reason, because of the promise of God that was given. Notice what it says here. God promised it 700 years before. He promised this in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. When God makes a promise that a baby will be born, the baby will be born. When God says that baby is going to be virgin born, it will be virgin born. You can trust the promises of God. See, that is this story. The story is built around three things. The grace of God that allowed the boy to be born, that sent the child, the Son of God. But also the faith of Mary that believed in the Word of God and believed that God would do what he said he would do. And then the promises that were given to there. For every problem that you and I have, there's a promise. And for every promise, there is provision. I want you to remember that. Tomorrow when the problems hit, or next day, or even tonight, as you're struggling with a problem in your life, for every problem, there is a promise. Can you say that with me? For every problem, there is a promise. And for every promise, there is a what? Provision. There is provision. Provision from God. Where there's a promise and we claim the promise in faith, God gives it in grace. And when we claim it in faith, provision is given to us as a child of God. That's exactly what Mary did. The reason that God used Mary is because she decided to believe God's word against everything. And that is what you and I have to do in our Christian life. To believe God when it's dark, when you don't know the answer, when it doesn't seem right. when you look at what's happening and your feet are blown out from under you and you wonder, God, what are you doing? God is saying, listen, I know what I'm doing. Your task is to have faith in me, to trust me. And Mary had to do that. She had to do those things that was right. Notice what Luke verse 45 says. You're blessed because, and that's what she said, you're blessed because you believe the Lord would do what he said. That's really, literally what Elizabeth said. Mary, you're blessed because you chose to do what God said. And you and I are blessed in the same way when we choose it to do what God states. And as children of God, we need to take it to the bank that the promises of God hold true today just like they did then. We can trust him. So she decided to believe in God's word. Then she determined to do God's will. Talk is cheap, isn't it? I mean, you hear people all the time say, well, I'm going to serve God now. And how many of us have made promises in our life? And we mean it at the time, I guess. Lord, if you'll do this, I'll do this. Well, God does, and we don't. See, Mary decided to do what she said she was going to do, what she promised God. She was going to take him at his promise, and then she was determined to do his will. God's promises are not just to be believed. They're to be acted on. They're to be acted on. I was given a present yesterday by one of our family, and I could have chosen not to open it. I thought, there's nothing in there. But I opened it, and there was something in there. And as children of God, we need to take the promises of God the same way, that there's something in them, that there's the grace of God and the power of God and the provision of God that backs those promises, no matter how dark it is and no matter how bad that it gets. And Mary had to do the same thing. And notice how she responded, what she said in verse 38. She said, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. This young girl of 14, 15, 16 years old had just been given a promise from God. But that promise said, you're going to have a child. And she doesn't. My goodness, what faith. How would that have taken you back when you ladies were 14 or 15 or 16 years old and something appeared to you like an angel and said, you're going to have a child? Would you have believed it? But see, Mary had been brought up in the Messiah's coming and that the Messiah would pick out a virgin and that virgin would conceive by the Holy Spirit of God. She knew the Word of God and she believed it and she trusted it. And that is what we need to do. But not only did she believe it, but the Bible says she acted upon it. Be it according to thy word. Do you think it was easy for Mary to say yes to God's will? There's been a few times in my life when God was calling me to preach, for me to say, yes, God, I'll do it. For when God was calling me out to quit my job and lose my insurance and make much, much less than what I did, that took faith. It took faith. But had already been given the grace of God and already been given the promises of God that God would take care of us. And sure, he sure did. Above and beyond anything we could ask or imagine, he took care of us and he'll take care of you. He'll bless you. He'll strengthen you. That's what God says here. She was determined to do God's will no matter what. I wonder how much gossip she faced. Think about it. Oh my goodness, there goes Mary. Don't let your kids be with Mary. This was a conservative town. It was a small town. Everybody knew everything about everybody else. 400 people. They went to the same church. My goodness. You ever told anybody in church something that you didn't want nobody else to know, but everybody else knew not too long after that? You got to be careful. Think of Mary. She began to show. 2, 3 months, 4 months went by. She began to show in the gossip that went on. Mary could have told them, an angel appeared to me. Mary, you're a liar. And that just made it worse. Think of what she went through. Think of what this little girl, this young lady went through. Not only the gossip, but what about the family? Oh my. I can see him going to her mother, her dad, and saying, oh, you didn't raise her right. My goodness, how could you let this happen? And the anger, the heartache, the brokenness. Think about it. And yet she was in the will of God. It's hard to do sometimes the will of God. It's hard to count it joy when you don't want to have joy. It's hard to look at things that twist you up and turn you inside out with hurt and pain and say, God, your will be done. But Mary did. Mary believed God's word, and she was determined to do God's will. For verse 37 says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. So she'd lost her reputation. She'd been gossiped and lied about. No doubt it kept building and kept building and kept building. There's some things you're not going to understand in your life about the will of God. There's some things you're not going to agree with, and that's all right. But don't forget the grace of God, and don't forget to have faith in what God said He would do, because He'll do it every time. He'll do it every time, and that's exactly what Mary went through. But thirdly and lastly, not only do we decide to believe God's word, determined to do God's will, but we as children of God delight in the worship of God. We delight in it. We worship Him no matter what. See, Job worshiped Him when everything was taken away, and he said this, Lord, you give and you take away, blessed be your name. He worshiped the Lord in the midst of utter chaos in his life, tragedy in his life. I cannot think of Job if I don't. I held a funeral down in the Squatchy Valley years ago, and I was there, and there was this grave, and I told you about it, but it just can't set my mind. The mom and dad had the bigger stone, and there was 13 children out from mom and dad. They'd all died within a month of each other. All the children had died. 13 had died. That's all they had. And this man was a pastor, a preacher, and no doubt he struggled with that. No doubt he wondered, God, where are you? And I had the historian of our county and stuff. She was a very smart lady. She knew the story, and she saw me looking at it, and she was part of the family that I was holding the funeral for. And she woke up, and Miss Robinette looked at me, and she said, do you know the story? And I said, no. And she says, it's this. They had contracted measles, and all of them had died within a month of each other. But mom and dad didn't get it. But mom and dad, they suffered. But she said they trusted God. He kept preaching. He kept pastoring. They trusted God and was faithful to God for the few years after that they lived. But they didn't live too long after that. They died very young. I don't know if it was a heartache. I can't imagine. I cannot imagine what they went through. But I'll tell you what they had to do. They had to decide to believe God's word. They had to determine to do God's will. Because it doesn't come easy. It didn't come easy for Mary. It won't come for you if you step out on the things of God. And they had to decide in their heart to delight in the worship of God. They had to choose to do that. That's what the Bible means when it says to count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That's what it means when it tells you and I to rejoice about everything. We can't, but God said, do it. Rejoice. To be happy about those things because God said you could. See, she didn't panic. She praised Him. The Bible says here that she didn't worry. She worshiped God. She gave it to Him. We have to give our family to Him. We have to give our children, our grandchildren. We have to give all to Him. See, it's all about God's grace. It's all about Mary's faith, or your faith and my faith. It's all about the promises of God, and that's what God is talking about here. Verse 47, I love it. It's a great verse. It's that she magnified the Lord. She rejoiced in God, our Savior. See, that is the definition of what a true Christian is. She was in God. She knew the Lord. She trusted in God. And yet she was going to have the Son of God in her. That's what Christianity is. Christianity is being in God and God being in you. With Mary, it was literal. With you and I, it's literal. The Bible said, if you abide in me, God says, and I abide in you, you shall ask what you will. See, understanding the Word of God, that it is the Word of God, and believing in it is not enough. You've got to rest in it in faith to act upon it, that it changes your demeanor, it changes who you are because of a child, because of what God said, because of what He did, because of His grace. You don't feel like worshiping sometimes. There's times you don't feel like praising Him. Yes, I know that. But then the Bible says to give a sacrifice of praise even when you don't feel like it, because He's worthy. And He tells us to do that. Verse 48, "For behold, from this time on all generations will call Me blessed." And they did, but it wasn't because of anything she did. It was because of the grace of God that was in her. Look at verse 28. "Hail thou that are highly favored. The Lord is with you." I like that. Look at that word favored. The word favored literally means, in the Greek, it means anywhere. Favored, it means pursued with grace. Mary had to have grace just like you and I had to have grace. Although she was very young, she didn't have very many years to have sin in her life, and she was a virgin. She had kept herself. Yes, she had to have grace. See, Mary was a sinner just like you and I are. She needed help just like you and I do. I read something the other day that I think will really give you, will really build your faith. I didn't know it about our country. I didn't know it about how we started. And it's a story about Christopher Columbus. The story goes, in the early 15th century, there was a great missionary by the name of Ramon Lowell. And he was a well-known missionary at that time. And he was ministering to the Muslim natives in the country that we call Algeria, that's in Africa. And he ministered to them, and he became very, very well-known, and he was very much loved. And many of them came to the Lord as He gave the grace of the gospel to them, and God used him greatly. Well, the people, though, that he gave it to a lot of times, they didn't like him, and one day they stoned him on the beach, and they left him for dead. And he's lay there dying. Two merchants that had just come from just a city up the road, and they was going back home, they came through, and they found him there, and they recognized him. They knew him. And they wanted to take him back to their city. And they wanted to allow him maybe to die there, because he was going to die. He was dying. And that he would be buried there, and being buried there would bring blessing, they hoped, to their city. That's the belief that they had in those days. As he went on the Mediterranean to the place that they were at, they traveled and they got blew off course by a wind that was there, and the wind blew them into an island, Malcoa Island. And they told him about it. They said, "We're going to be here for a day or two." And he said, "You don't understand. This is where I'm from. This is my home island. This is where I was born." And he said, "Would you take me up to the top of the ship and allow me to see this place that I call home just one more time before I die?" And they carried him up to the top, and he looked over at the ship, over the ship's bow, and he saw his place that had been raised up, and it brought memories to his life. And he said this. While he was on top of the ship, and some of the men were around him, he looked over and he said, "Out there lay Spain, and Spain's just on the other side of the island, and England, and all of those lay out there. But he said, there is a continent way out there, a long way out there, that has never heard the gospel. It has never been found, but it's there. And as you go there, send somebody. Pray that God sends someone. Tell somebody that God will send someone to that continent that they may win souls for Jesus Christ." And the story goes that there was a man there that had heard the story about Ramon Lowell and what had happened there. The man was the grandfather to Christopher Columbus. The man left that ship. Of course, he died. He was buried there on his own island. And Christopher Columbus's grandfather went home and he told the story over and over to his children, to his grandchildren. Christopher Columbus is a grandchild. He was touched of the Lord and led of the Lord to, as we know the story, come to America, that new continent that his grandfather told, that the old missionary said, "You got to send somebody." Here is a caption from Christopher Columbus, and I quoted it. He says this, from his own journal, "It was the Lord who had put it into my mind. I could feel his hand upon me, the fact that it would be possible to sail from here to the Indies. All who heard of my project rejected it with laughter and ridicule, but there is no question that the inspiration was from the Holy Spirit of God, because he comforted me with rays of marvelous inspiration from the Holy Scriptures. You know why Christopher Columbus came to America and found America? Because of an old missionary that told him there's a land out there that needs to be told of Jesus Christ. Send somebody. Pray that God sends someone. A man kept telling the story over and over to his children, to his grandchildren, to others. And God placed on Christopher Columbus his heart to go there. My goodness. You know what Christopher means? It simply means the bearer of Christ. The bearer of Christ. And that's exactly what he did. The Mayflower came over. The others came over. A Jew was the first one to step out on the land. And as we know the story, America became America because of that missionary. Now, when I read that, I had to read it over and over. And I thought, Lord, if you bless that promise, then you're going to bless me. And you're going to bless those that are around me. Can you not believe God? See, that's what Mary's life is about here. She believed God. She trusted in the Word of God. She's willing to do what God told her to do. And that's the story. Take the promises of God. Allow God to come into your life. Allow God to use you in the way He wants you to be used. Different people are teaching in our class, and we've got another 10 weeks, I guess, of people that have never taught before, but they're stepping out in faith. And it's hard. It's hard. I've been teaching for 35, 36 years, and it's still hard sometimes. The Lord reminded me of that Wednesday night. Oh, my goodness. And we all have those times. But the more you do it, the more you can do it. And as children of God, we need to step out of our comfort zone. We need to say, God, whatever you have us to do, do. Help us to do it with all of our might, as unto you. And don't wait for the Spirit of the Lord to move you. Just do it. And then let Him lead you in your doing. That's what Mary did. Mary didn't know where this would take her. She didn't know where the journey would go for her. But she just trusted the Lord. She did everything she could, and God directed her life because of it. So, Brother Rudy, I don't know what God has for the future. Then just be what He wants you to be now. Bloom where you're planted. Fulfill your desire here, His desire for you here. Allow God's work to be done today in your life without hesitation, just as Mary did. My goodness. You think that Mary knew what? She knew a lot. She knew she would be ridiculed. She knew she'd be gossiped about. Yet she continued in the things of God. Decide to believe God's word. Determine as a child of God to do God's will. And delight in the worship of God. My goodness. Faith is not haphazard. Faith has something to stand on. And that's what we have. For every problem, what is there? For every problem, there's a promise. For every promise, there's a provision. God promises that. So tomorrow, you got a problem, say, God, there's a promise here. I'm going to claim it. And the provision, the Bible says, will come because God promised it. Let's pray tonight. Father, we pray that you'd help us to see Mary. A little young, innocent girl that was used so greatly. We're talking about her 2,000 years from the time she lived. But God, there's Marys in here today, men and women, Lord, that you're calling out to do something great for you. And dear God, we don't have to wait until next year, next 10 years. We don't have to say, Lord, what are you doing here? Just let Him do what He's doing through you. Every time you get together with people, every time that you rise up from the bed, help us to do all that God, you would have us to do to bring you glory, to praise you, to glory in who you are, not looking for something big, just doing what you'd have us to do. Lord, you did it all for Mary. All she had to do is say, yes, Lord, and you did. Help us to say that tonight. Help us to recognize the grace of God. Help us to see the faith of Mary and also our faith. And help us, dear God, to understand the promises. And we give you praise and we give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. So God's grace, man's faith.